Hi, everyone. This is chapter 5 of my audio vlog. One of the things that I wanted to mention that I had already mentioned in one of the first episodes was that I wanted to make this audio and so that there's not really much on the screen. All the other videos have some sort of wavelength, so I wanted to kind of put something up there, but I just wanted you to know in the beginning, there's not really anything else to kind of see. I wanted this more to be a listening type of video. So I've talked about feelings in the past on several different recordings, and one of the things that I wanted to kind of talk about today, which can make depression and suicide and loneliness and being bullied and picked on at school, is family. There are obviously many different types of family. You know, there's families that are close. There's families that are very affectionate. There are families, of course, that aren't close and aren't affectionate. There are families whose parents are absent, whether it be the mother or the father or both. Many parents struggle from their own addictions and issues throughout life that they haven't really been able to get a handle on. And it's unfortunate that rolls down to the children. I kind of had both scenarios. My mother's an incredible woman who has shown nothing but love for me and other people in general. So she has a very kind heart, and it's very interesting. I think I learned a lot from my mom just in how she is because of what she told me she's gone through. And that's one of the other reasons why I think it's important to be able to talk about things like this, because while my life might not directly relate to yours, hopefully there's something that I say that can help you really think about living life in general. So my mother growing up said that her father probably only told her once or twice in her life that he loved her. Now, she knew that he loved her because, you know, he always took care of her and looked out for her, but he was not an affectionate man. My mother's mother, her mother, wasn't really that affectionate either. And many decades ago, that's kind of how families were raised and brought up, for the majority of the part, not all of them, of course, but a majority of them. And so when we end up where we are today and how our families are today and how we perceive love and happiness is very different from what it was in the past. And of course, there are some families that still experience that. And one of the reasons why is because people don't talk, nor do people want to change. And not that talk is obviously the answer to everything, but it's certainly something that helps. One of the things that I talked about in the last audio vlog was that even talking to yourself is important. So kind of going back to my personal experience in this specific example, for my mother, she knew that she didn't want to raise kids like that. She wanted to be affectionate. She wanted kids, myself, to know, you know, how much we were loved and how much we were cared for. And she didn't have to be like that. And a lot of people aren't. And what I mean by that is a lot of what people experience as they're going through life, they continue to carry on that tradition or those characteristics or mannerisms throughout their life, and they pass it on to their kids and so on and so forth, meaning it becomes a bad cycle. So it was interesting for me to learn how unaffectionate my mother's parents were to her. And when I look back to see how affectionate my mother was to me, that's a vast difference. Because if I were to think back, and during the stages of my depression and not self-worth, and if I didn't have somebody in my life that I know that would really miss me, my mom and of course both my parents, I don't know if I'd still be here today. Because I don't know if I would have had that strength to kind of carry on. And it's unfortunate that many kids out there and many adolescents and even adults out there don't have that same feeling. They don't think that, you know, when they're gone, that it's really going to affect anybody, or they never really felt loved even from their parents. So how can they love someone else? And it's a horrible cycle. And that's one of the reasons that I bring this up, because we have to be able to learn to change and understand our feelings and feel comfortable expressing our feelings to other people. And hopefully, as you carry on in life and you find someone you love, you're able to express your feelings about them. And then if you have children, you can express your feelings and have a very good open relationship. Because what I found out is that a lot of people who are bullies in school, there's something bad going on at home. And it might not be with parents, it might be with another sibling. But generally, there's something bad going on at home, because they have to learn that behavior somewhere. You know, generally, the way that we act and what we inflect on other people are something that we have learned. We don't just wake up one morning and are like, screw everybody, and I'm just going to give everybody the finger and make everybody feel like crap. I don't think, unless you've got some sort of chemical imbalance, that that's not something that you just inherently do. And that's another thing in understanding bullies. And like I've said in other videos, it's unfortunate that we have to go through this, that we have to be able to work so much on ourselves to be able to overcome what other people are pushing on us, such as bullying and embarrassment and things like that. It's not fair. And I know a lot of people get angry, but I hope through listening through these and moving forward that you'll learn just to have this kind of not affect you, or certainly affect you, but not in such a negative and detrimental way. It's certainly going to be negative, because it's never fun. You know, no matter how much somebody says, you can do this, that, and the other, and, you know, don't ever let what people bother you. Don't ever let what people say bother you. Of course, it's going to bother you, but hopefully it's going to be able to, listening through all these is going to help you be able to pull yourself out of that and not do something drastic and realize that life is so much bigger than just what you're experiencing. So it's horrific that there are parents that are incapable of communicating with their kids and showing any type of emotion or having any type of ritual that you do with your family. And, you know, if you've got parents that are fighting all the time with each other and physically beating each other, then a child is going to learn that characteristic and think it's okay. You know, most of the time when there are families that end a divorce, the children typically later on in life will have partners or have difficulty being close with partners and even getting married and then possibly going through divorce. And they might think that that's okay. And I'm not saying, you know, divorce, I'm for it or against it. It's certainly unique in everyone's particular scenario. But it's not, to me, it's not about divorce itself. It's about the breakdown of communication between two people. Throughout life, it is always going to be difficult to be able to understand your feelings and be able to express them. There are a lot of people who could understand their emotions, but they cannot express them. Some people are just completely incapable of being able to communicate, and that causes a lot of problems. So as adolescents and as you're growing and your body's changing, not only are you having to battle with your own emotions and trying to understand who and what your body's going through and who you're becoming, you're also possibly affected by these outside things that are very close to you, your family or your brother, or your sister. And so it's very hard. Because while I had a mother that was that way, I had a father that was the opposite. You know, I know that he cared for me, but he didn't really have a way of expressing it, and he didn't have a way of communicating, and it was hard, and it was very different to have someone who was so loving, and then to have the same family figure, parent figure, who was completely the opposite. And of course, that's a lot of it was like that back in the day. You know, the mothers were always the stay-at-home person who cared and loved for the family, and the father was the person who showed no emotion, was always strict, and went to work, and that was about it. But times are certainly different. We don't, you know, this is not a cycle that we want to continue, and obviously families haven't really continued that over time, but it's still very relevant today because those types of families who aren't able to communicate with each other really cause problems for everybody else. And it's terrible to think that one family can have effect on one child or multiple children, and then those children in return go to school and express their hatred of other people publicly. And for what? What in the end, what good does it really do for somebody bashing somebody on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or what, or anywhere for that matter? It serves absolute no purpose. None. And it's so horrible to think about how much it affects the people that they are talking to and about. Because it's not like that person goes home from school, puts their feet up on their desk or lay on the couch and we're like, man, I feel great that I completely fucked over this person today. No. They might for a minute, but I don't think that that's something that they really live by. I think that they're really driven from anger and frustration and feelings that they don't understand from something else in their life and something else that's bigger. So that's kind of the first part of this, and talking about it for 10 minutes or 11 minutes is something that I wanted to say in one part of family, and I'll move over to another part here in just a second, but that's the first thing I wanted to bring up is, again, it's horrific that you and I and other people who are affected by other people, that we have to be basically the grown-ups in all of this, because the people who pick on other people, you know, again, they're not grown up. They're not growing. All they're doing is becoming kids who don't know how to express their feelings and just throwing a temper tantrum. And of course, you can't throw a temper in high school. So what do? You lash out at the person who's next to you and the people who you think are vulnerable to make yourself feel better. And that's, it's terrible. There's so many curse words that I want to say right now, but it's terrible. So families certainly have a direct impact on the unfortunate things that you have to go through by putting up with their kids. And there's nothing, obviously, we can do. You can't go knock on the door and be like, hey, are you talking to your kids the way that you should? Are you being the right role model? No. But if we're able to understand the bigger picture and sadly grow up and be more responsible than these people who are affecting you, these bullies and what have you, in life, that makes you such a much wiser and bigger and better person. So that's kind of one part of family. The other part of family is what you have to go through directly. And it kind of a little bit goes back to, you know, you might have a family that you're very close to and you're able to open up to. And I know how bad it is to come home from school and to have your parents sitting at the table and asking you, how was your day? How are you feeling? You don't look so good. What's going on? Tell us. We can help you. Because the last thing that you really want to do is talk to your parents. Because as you get older, parents become these lame people. But they do have a lot of experience. And I know it's really weird to sit down and be like, you know, hey, mom and dad, I had this person pick on me. You know, you might be one of those have one of those families where they wouldn't really take you serious. And that's unfortunate, but it's okay because you're able to grow yourself. And hopefully you're able to see the bigger picture of life, because you won't always be in that household. And you won't always be affected by your parents. And it's terrible to say, but you know, one day if that's the type of family that you're in and they're not going to change and they're not the type of people who really, really want to listen to you and maybe want to help you, then, you know, reaching out to a friend or even counsel or something like that, or a group, even though I know that sounds cheesy to say, I still think it's important to be able to talk about things. Friends are obviously the first place that you'd want to turn because they might be experiencing the same things you are, or they know you better or know you well enough. But the point in this is family is difficult, and everyone's family is difficult. Nobody has the perfect family. And while on the surface it might appear that, you know, Stacy and John got the greatest parents because their parents bought them a car and whatever it might be, you know, it's never perfect. And that's okay. I mean, everybody wants to strive, I would hope, at least in some form or fashion, to have a perfect family. But if you got kids who are showing off everything that they've got, those kids have their own insecurities. And that's coming from the family, at least in my experience. Like I said, I'm not a doctor or anything like that. I'm just kind of telling my opinions and expressing the things that I've been through and what I've seen. Another thing that's very difficult that can affect depression or even cause depression or suicidal thoughts is not only your parents, but other siblings. It can be difficult having an older brother who might be a bully, and they might even be one of the people that pick on you in school, or even a younger brother. It really depends, or obviously a younger sister or what have you. And while it's family, and while it is a lot more personal than, you know, just somebody that you know making negative comments to you at school or work setting or wherever it might be, even though it's family, if they're doing those same things, you can still grow and be a better human being than they are. And hopefully that's something that you'll strive for everything. And being depressed, the last thing you want to do is think about positive stuff and, you know, rainbows and making your life happy. But like I've said, and I'll probably say forever, this is just a small, unfortunate blip in your life. And it's part of the, you know, there's so much more in the grand scheme of things. So having family that's not supportive or around or having their own troubles can be very difficult, and I understand that because a lot of bad things happened to my family when I was going through high school and part of middle school, and it really affected me, and it certainly didn't help with the depression and the negative thoughts that I had. But now, many, many years and decades since I've left high school, it's not something that I mean, it's affected me, I'm certainly in one form or fashion, but it doesn't have me depressed and feeling the way that it certainly did back then. Because I think the biggest thing about depression and suicidal thoughts is for you to realize how important you are and how great life is. And it can be rough. You know, you might be a family who lives in a $500,000 or $1 million house, or you might be a family that lives in a trailer somewhere. But I can tell you that both families have the exact same problems. And I say that because a lot of people who don't grow up or have money envy those who do, because they think, well, if they've got money, all the problems are going to go away. And that doesn't happen. Your problems just shift. So, you know, don't ever think that having money is going to solve all problems. I know there's the stupid saying that money doesn't bring happiness. And then some jerk said, well, that's because those people who say that are poor. And that's not the case, because I can tell you from experience that it's not. You have the same problems regardless of what side of the fence you're on. And I think that's important to remember, because one of the things that I mentioned in the other video was that because of reality TV, we have a really warped sense of what we think is a good life and what is successful and what is power. But in the end, it doesn't matter. if you make all this money today, let's just say hypothetically, you're out of your depression. You've lived your life, you've fought and driven, and you've made millions of dollars. And you pass, you die from old age. What did you in life? What did you really accomplish? Yes, money. Don't get me wrong, and stability. But you will end up being a person who has fought and struggled, and been completely stressful to get to this magic number and this magic place. And you'll think that your life will completely change. And financially, and the things that you can buy might, sure, but that it really doesn't bring that much happiness. And you'll look back and you'll realize that you've spent your entire life in this tunnel vision to make all this money for whatever reason, and you still have nothing. You can't take it. You can't take money with you. Now, I'm of course not saying that money is not important in life, because it is. It's just not what they portray on TV. I don't know if anyone has, let me look this up, if anyone has heard of course, the movie like Liar Liar, or with Jim Carrey, actually I'll list quite a bit of the movies. Like Bruce Almighty, or Ace Ventura, or Patch Adams, or Evan Almighty. I don't know if you realize, but Tom Shadyac was the director, and that was really the Ace Ventura was kind of the movie that set him on the map for being the go-to comedian in Hollywood. And he actually has a documentary video, which is pretty impressive. At least for me, I thought it was very good. It's just called Happy. So his documentary Happy kind of documents him realizing that he had fought and struggled and did everything he could to become the successful director, because he always thought that money was going to make his life successful. And he bought these multi-million dollar houses, had these private jets and planes, had all this money. But he realized it didn't bring him happiness. So he decided to completely leave Hollywood and go live in a very small house. And, you know, instead of having expensive cars, he started to ride his bike everywhere. And I thought that was very interesting, because while some of you listening to this might be thinking, well, that's just crazy. Maybe he was losing, you know, maybe his career was going downhill, and it wasn't. He was actually at the prime of his work. And he realized that what he was fighting for and what he was working for wasn't what made him happy. And I think that that's important to realize, because you might think, well, if I had money and my parents had these cars, and my parents had money and I wore these clothes, these kids wouldn't pick on me. And they might not, but they might. And you end up becoming somebody who you're not just because you're trying to avoid something, i.e. them, the people picking on you or bullying you. And again, this is a small blip in your life. And I keep repeating, it's a horrible thing that we have to go through, because we have to be the adults in this. But I can't reiterate how amazing life is. And it's not about the things that you can acquire. And while for some people that might bring happiness, I just mean life in general. It's amazing to be able to wake up and look outside and stand outside and feel the sun, or listen to the trees, or listen to the traffic, or watch people down in the city. You know, no matter where you live, being able to internalize where you are and what you see and what you experience makes life incredible. And by being depressed and thinking about all these things that you should be doing, or things that you should change, or being angry at these people who are affecting your life, while it is unfortunate, you are a better person than that. You're going to do something amazing. And it doesn't have to be something amazing that everybody knows about, but something amazing in general. Something I mentioned on a prior video was that a simple gesture such as just holding the door for someone is so simple, but it's an amazing gesture. And being someone who wants to hold open the door for somebody can make you feel more life worthy and internal happiness than driving a Bentley and pulling up in your, 6,000 square foot home and visiting your condo that you've got and all the states that have oceans, in them. While those might sound cool and interesting and fun to have, it's not as cool as you'd think. But people don't want you to know that, especially the people who are picking on you, and especially the people who are in reality TV. They want you to think that everything is grand and life's going to be great if you have all this stuff. And it's, for some people, that does bring a certain level of happiness because it does provide you with a certain level of pride that you've been able to put yourself in a career or do things in your life that have provided you with the capability to go buy that $500,000 home or whatever it might be. But think smaller. I think, buying a house that's 6,000 square feet can really be no different in a feeling than buying a pack of M&Ms. It just depends on how you look at the things that you acquire and can purchase and buy in life. And I'm not trying to get on a money kick, but my point in this about money is that while you could be in a family that doesn't have a lot of money, and you think that that's a bad thing because all the kids or the people at school are making fun of you because of the shoes you wear or the car you drive or the, whatever it might be, it's really not that big. It's not that important. It's not that big of a deal. While they're making it a big deal, it's probably because they're insecure about the things that they have or the feelings that they've felt. Like I said, I don't think, unless you've got a chemical imbalance, a person is not inherently a terrible person and want to conflict pain on someone unless they're experiencing something very similar. Then they deflect. And it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with how imperfect they make you feel, because every person is perfect in their own way. And every person's going to do something big. And again, like I said, big, that could be the one day that you hold open the door for someone, you could be changing that person's life. Let's think, I'll give an example and then I'll end this. You're certainly familiar with depression and possibly thoughts of suicide. So what if someone else is going through the same thing you are, and they don't have friends that listen, they don't have family that cares, they're constantly ridiculed, and they think that no one in life cares about them, and they get the feeling that they don't matter? Well, what if that person decides to get in their car and go to the store to buy the pills, or they were going to go buy pills so that they could overdose and end their life. And in the way into the store, you pass them and hold open the door. Now that person most likely would stop and think and maybe realize that they do matter, because you were the person who held open the door for them. And that proved to them that they did matter and they were significant because you took the time to not be rude. And you took the time for them to know that someone cared. And while it might seem such a very small gesture, it can be a very big thing. So don't think about, what can I do to make a lot of money or to buy all these cars or to whatever the tangible object might be. Just think about maybe what makes you happy and what's something that someone could do for you that would make you feel good and worthy. Because you are worthy. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. And I hope that one day you do realize that. Because you're great. You're a great person who's going to go on and do great things. So I appreciate you listening. We're here at 30 minutes and 30 seconds. I hope that this is helping you or helping someone or maybe someone you know. But between family and anger and feelings, it's certainly something that, unfortunately, we have to be somewhat of a grown-up and learn to evolve through what we've overcome. But I think that that's a powerful thing because life is amazing. And if this can help you realize different aspects of life and help you grow, then you will learn that what you're experiencing is such a small speck in life right now, and what you're going to experience by just standing outside is truly amazing. So I appreciate you watching. I appreciate you listening. I hope this helps, and I'll be back soon. Take care. Bye.